Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
And a very good evening to you. Welcome to Election Perspective. I'm James Davis. This evening, we continue our run-up to the general election with speaking to the MHKs who are not part of Tony Brown's Manx government, but they will be members seeking re-election when the Isle of Man goes to the polls next month, September the 29th, to be precise. My guest this evening has represented his constituency for nearly 5 years. When he stood in 2006, it was a first-time triumph. Then, as a member of the Liberal Vannan Party, he remains a South Douglas MHK, but he does no longer represent the party. Welcome to the programme. Good evening, Bill Mullarkey.
Good evening, James. Thank you.
I suppose the obvious place to start is Liberal Vannan. Why did you leave the party?
That's between me and the Liberal Vannan Party. And being honest, James, I'm here tonight to talk about the Isle of Man and not the Liberal Vannan Party.
Sure. I mean, do you believe in when it happened, I think 2008 now, you should have gone out to the public and said, look, you voted for me as a party member, put your faith in me again as an independent?
No, I don't. I actually feel that in the first 18 months where I wasn't a Liberal Vannan Party, I wasn't serving the people of the Isle of Man. So I had something to prove. I believe I proved that since leaving the party, because certainly I wouldn't have a good as manifesto as what I've got now if I'd have stayed in the party.
So do you acknowledge now perhaps that you can achieve more working within government, influencing policy, than perhaps by criticising from the outside, shouting from the sidelines?
Absolutely no doubt about it. People are saying we need to get smaller government, we need to save money, we need to do all sorts of things within government to save money, to get rid of middle management. You can't do that sitting on the outside. It's absolutely impossible. If you want to save money and make government leaner and keener, you can only do that from the inside. Everybody can criticise from the outside. You need to roll your sleeves up and get stuck in. I wasn't doing that.
Would you have stayed as a party member if you'd have been allowed to serve on government departments?
Yes, because they changed the rules after I got in. I was never told, when I was approached, and I say this is the last subject I'm having on, when I was approached by Peter to join the party, these were not the rules of the Liberal Vannan Party. That changed after the election.
Well, were you clearly on record in the last election interview 5 years ago, I heard it before, saying, you know, I want to take a role on in government. So you're adamant that changed post-election?
Most definitely. Absolutely most definitely.
I know the slogan last time was sort of time for change. Moving out from Liberal Vannan now, just generally, do you think that's happened?
Time for change? We're going to have to change. We're going to have to keep changing. But at the moment, what I'm not liking is all the negativity that's coming out from the past 5 years. Everybody's saying what, you know, a hard next 5 years are going to be. Make no mistake about it, it is. But the past 5 years have been extremely difficult for any government. Some of the criticism that's come forward with regard how they've managed it, I think it's quite justified. But I believe a lot of it isn't. I believe that we are sitting at the moment, right, we lost the reciprocal agreement, we got it back again. It cost us £2.5 million.
Finest hour, though, was it?
The way it was handled probably wasn't. I must admit with that, it wasn't the way it was handled by the government. But I think it proved when we all pulled together, when everybody pulled together, we won and we got it back again.
Who saved it? Was it public? Was it politicians? Was it a combination?
I believe it was a combination, because at that time I was in the Department of DHSS and I know what was going on behind the scenes. So I do know how hard they were working behind the scenes at the time. But also those lobbying groups on the outside were also working very hard. And I think what it did prove is the worth of the CPA, the networking and having contacts off this island with other parliaments, not just in London, round the world, because when you need friends, you've got to have that networking so you can call upon your friends to help you.
You're a member of government departments now, of course, a number of departments. Has government restructuring, reorganisation worked, or is the jury still out, or is it emphatically failed?
No, I think restructuring, and I was a critic at the time, I was a critic of how it was done, not on how it was done. It was the way it was driven forward by the Council of Ministers very last minute and how we were sort of dragged along with it. But I will stand
here. But in hindsight, the right thing?
I will sit here now. The Department of Social Care is the best thing that's ever happened to the shake-up, because DHSS was far, far too big. Social services was a loose cannon. There was no real control over it. Bringing social services under housing with Social Security made it a much easier animal to control. And there's a long way to go yet, but we're finally now getting control in social care. And obviously the Department of Economic Development is a must, an absolute must for the island. I think it's been disappointing because it's been finding its feet. that department's really going to have to roll its sleeves up after the next election and go out and start fighting for the other man and for business.
Well, what is the greatest, you mentioned the council of ministers then, what's the greatest weakness of the council of ministers? Is business as open as you want it to be? Some obviously has to be confidential, but is it as transparent, open and accountable? Are you satisfied?
I think accountability, yes. We were always given briefings and we were always told what was going on behind the scenes. Those of us who turned up to the briefings, they were very important. You know, sometimes in any government, some things you are told and said like, this is within these four walls, and it could damage the island if we spoke about it outside, or if our competitors got wind of what was going on. So you have to weigh them, you know, situations up within government and say, well, yeah, okay, I know the people of the Isle of Man have a right to know some things, but it's for the future of the Isle of Man and the good of the Isle of Man that sometimes you don't all go shouting from the rooftops.
So why do people regularly say, oh, government's done this wrong, it's done that wrong, and under the surface they say, you know, disaster's around the corner?
If I had one criticism of our Chief Minister, and, you know, I hope he's listening at the moment, Tony, I wish you well in your retirement, but it was Tony's way only. I found him a little bit arrogant.
But we needed strong leadership, didn't we? Especially over the last few years.
We did, but we also need somebody who will listen and will change direction if he can be convinced to change direction by others. And I don't believe at times that happened within the Council of Ministers.
In what areas?
The scope and structure of government itself.
It's working.
It did work, but it was driven forward by the Chief Minister himself. I was on the scrutiny committee that proved that.
Isn't that what you want a Chief Minister to do, though? Sometimes you've got to be your own man.
Yes, but sometimes he should also inform you a little bit better. Remember, we're the soldiers working with him, and if he can't keep the soldiers informed as to what's going on, sometimes you lose respect for your commanding officer.
How do you think generally the present administration, the Brown administration, has handled the major challenges over the past 5 years?
Well,
and there has been a number of challenges.
There have been lots. I've mentioned the KSF, I've mentioned the reciprocal agreement, and we've had, the VAT, the two VAT hits on us. We've had the VAT going down from 17.5% down to 15%, then back up to 20%. There's been so many things to deal with, James, over the last 5 years. For me, as a newcomer into politics, I've found it quite overwhelming at times, trying to keep up to date with, you know, what's going on in places. But let's just look at where we are now, 5 years down the line, after all that's happened. We're forecasting growth this year of 4%, 4.5%. There's nowhere else in Europe.
Still the calm before the storm, though, isn't it?
Yes, but everybody else is having the storm, and they've got more storms to come. Let's just look around you. Look at Italy and Germany and Spain. Sorry, not Germany. France. France and Germany are doing not too bad. Mediterranean countries like Portugal, Spain, Greece, they're in meltdown, total meltdown.
You're looking out of the window talking about Spain and Greece here. Glorious panacea from Douglas, of course, over Douglas. But looking out there, do we need to do something about the centre of our capital? Is it a bit downtrodden and run down?
It is, and we do need to get tourism back on the map in the Isle of Man. I believe that is going to play a big part.
Is the money there to do it?
Well, you need the will first before you need the money, to be perfectly honest, James. What I'm really getting fed up with on the island is all the talking down. It's about time we had a glass that was half full instead of a glass that was half empty.
I it's just coming to my head now. I rang up the Welcome Centre last night about 7:10, wanted to find something out, wanted to ask them something. The Steam Packet. It was the Steam Packet Company. 7:10, summer hours, are we shut at 6:30? Now, what kind of message does that give out? I'm not picking on them, there's others, but, you know, we're in the height of our summer season now. What kind of message does that give out?
The wrong message, and that's very true. We just seem to have rolled over at the moment. Everybody seems to be on a down. I wish we'd stop this downing and start picking ourselves up. We are a strong community who's got a lot going for it. We've got challenges ahead. And I think we can manage these challenges if we work together and stop knocking each other.
I mean, going back to the minister issue and the Council of Ministers, do you want to now be, if elected, do you need to be a minister, or are you content to be a backbencher? What's your political ambition over the next 5 years?
I will serve the Isle of Man to the best of my abilities.
Would you take any role offered to you?
No, I know my limitations, James. I always have done. all my life. I won't take on something I don't think I'm capable of doing. There are ministerial positions I do believe that I'm quite capable of doing because I bring a lot of business experience, and I've proved that quite successfully through my departments over the last 3 years that my business experience has worked. If I may, I'll give you an example of the DHSS days when we were negotiating for the new EMI unit in Ramsey. Now, we had tenders in for to build a new EMI unit, and Gardner House had been closed down because it wasn't fit for purpose, and the tenders were on the table, and I wasn't happy with the price of it. And the office had finished with the negotiations, and I'm saying, the price isn't good enough. When we look at the price of we paid for the EMI unit in Farm Hill, when I look at the economy, I said, it's just not good enough. I said to the minister at a department meeting, may I go and talk to the developer? And the minister said, well, if you think it'll do any good.
And
I went with an officer and I came back and said to the Manx taxpayer, just over £300,000 in one contract, using my skills that I'd learned over the years through business.
So what do you believe, what roles would you be best suited to? If elected and you're approached by the next chief minister, I want you to be involved in this. Well, what would be the best bet for Bill Mullarkey?
I'm not going out fishing now for ministerial jobs.
I'm asking you.
I'd be quite happy for the constituent of South Douglas to vote for me to get me in there in the first place. Please do. I do have a good business head with me, James. I've spent nearly the biggest part of my life running businesses. Only on the Isle of Man, yes, but I built them up successfully and sold them. I know, you know, how to get through difficult times. I've been through difficult times. I know how to control them. I know how to thin out when times are hard. I know when contracts are put on the table, whether they're good contracts or bad contracts. They've come to me within social services quite a lot of lately. We've had a lot of contracts renewed in social services, and I've sent an awful lot of them away. They've come to me as final documents, and I've refused to sign them off because I've just said, no, go back and renegotiate.
Is our communication network good enough? We in most cases now in departments, we employ media officers at a not insignificant rate of pay, but the message that we seem to be trying to promote doesn't always seem to get out there. Is that because they're not doing their job properly, or is that because we have a negative media generally?
I wouldn't say it because they're not doing the job right. It's very hard with media. Some people will be happy, some people won't be happy. How much do you tell the people? How much don't you tell the people? It's a bit of a contradiction in itself, James. Communications coming out of the council to ministers, to members, has been extremely good. How they've communicated that to the public, I think at times, has been very, very bad.
So do we, in this day and age of forums, etc., do we just hear perhaps from the moaners, the negatives, the half-empty glasses more often than we used to?
James, I keep well away from forums. Early days, I used to read them. If you look at them and make a note of some of the names,
don't give them any credence.
It's the same people with the same moans. Let's start talking the Isle of Man up. We're a small player in a big, big market, but it's about time we started punching above our weight. We really need to get some positivity into this Isle of Man and start realising that if we want to play in the world market, we've got to act as grown-ups and stop bickering at each other.
Just one example. I know an area, perhaps the Manx government doesn't help itself. There's an area, I think, where a senior officer recently retired and has been retained as a consultant. I mean, is that financially sound? You can understand where, you know, it aggravates workers who are in lower jobs and in some cases have to be made redundant.
I quite agree. It went on far too much in the past.
Still going on.
Not to the amount and what it was doing in the past. I'm not in favour of that. Sometimes you have to get the knowledge out of these people. Sometimes they have to retire for all sorts of different reasons. I'm thinking of a couple of officers within some of my departments who've gone with a wealth of knowledge, and sometimes you have to bring that wealth of knowledge back in, even if it's on a part-time scale, just to get it out of them. I'm not in favour. If somebody retires, they should go. I think the big problem we're having within government at the moment, we're trying to reduce the numbers. We're trying to get rid of middle management. Certainly we've done that in the two departments I've been in.
Are we top heavy?
We've been top heavy for years, but the money's been flowing for years. So, you know, when you start having to cut the cloth according to your income, you suddenly start realising you've got to get rid of jobs. And government has been moving people around, and they're moving them from department to department to fill these jobs. Sooner or later, you become stagnant. You don't bring any fresh blood in. So I see a little bit of a problem arising in the future where A, we're not giving the youth of the island a chance to enter government. That's going to be the trick in the future, getting the balance right. Let's not just keep spreading the same people round in circles because they're no longer needed in that job, but they might fit into that. You know, you can't put round pegs into square holes at times. And I think we are in danger in the future of doing that. So we need to work closer, I think, with the private sector and try and... I don't like using the word privatisation, but government shouldn't be running things. It's time to let go of an awful lot of what we control.
You touched on structure before, or I did. Scope. Will the next government address that?
It has to address it.
But certain aspects, I mean, surely privatisation, for example, of the buses, of the trains, of the Gaiety Villa complex, etc., the arts, that's not the way forward, is it?
Well, I don't mean to sell them off. Certainly that wouldn't be my view. But certainly if I thought if I bring a management private company in to run it, we still own it, but let them run it and let them run it more efficient. Because I've always said government shouldn't be running anything, really. We run MEA showrooms in direct competition that lose money. Anti-competitive. We shouldn't be doing that. We've been running nursing homes against the private sector nursing homes. In my opinion, we shouldn't be doing that. We should be governing and doing what we're best at, not running enterprises like the Villa Marina complex.
The government contract, obviously, we heard about Pro Tours difficulties last week. The bus famine has got, I think, most of virtually all the school contracts now on a much wider scale. Is that wrong, that we're basically looking...
As long as it went out for fair competitive market, it's not wrong. Whether we should own the bus service, well, that's another question totally, which has to be revisited. How much money is it losing because every year?
Bus station sites still lies, in a bit of a state. Will something be done over the next 5 years
Don't
on that?
Don't start me on that, James. You know, I've been dead against the developments down there. It's the last thing we need is more shops down there. We need a bus station. We need something for the youth, or somewhere, cafe areas for them to meet, get off the bus.
Well, we've got a cafe things. Lair, haven't we?
Yes, but I'm talking a much bigger level in there. We could have, there could be roller skating or something on the ground floor. You know, it's a £7 million site? Then let a developer build that for us and build what it wants above. He can build a hotel, he can build apartments. We'll give them from the first floor up as long as they build the ground floor for
What
us.
About the Summerland site?
Another, isn't it? It's another red herring. We can't get rid of it. Nobody seems to want it.
What efforts are going to be made, though, over the next few years to try again?
Well, I hope a lot of efforts. A, we need to stimulate the building trade on the Isle of Man, so we need to stimulate work. I'm not saying give the site away, but make sure we're getting something back in return for that prime site. If it helps the economy to pick up and get through this difficult time, and we will come through it, every economy worldwide will go through cycles of downs and ups and downs, and we're riding the storm at the moment.
Obviously, a new broom, fresh government, fresh chief minister. We know that. Are you a popularly elected chief minister? That's what your views are quite well known on that.
They are indeed. I do not believe, I can't put hand on heart, knock on the door and say to somebody, right, I'm going to deliver this when I come back into Parliament, because I'm one voice. And one voice out of 24 members of the House of Keys, and one voice out of 33 up in Tynwald. The people should have a say on who is going to lead them. And for them to have a say, they need to know what the policies are that they are having a say on. Now, whether it's directly electing them themselves...
But don't members, when they vote, and they put a big cross in the box, don't they put the faith in their or his or her members or member... To vote on their behalf for that. Isn't that enough?
It would be almost enough if it was the 24 members who had just been out canvassing for the last 3 months and going to an election and going to the people and getting the people's vote. But it's not. It's the full 33 members of Tynwald to get the vote. The ones who don't even go to the public to get a vote.
So you'd be happy if it was just House of Keys members that voted the Chief Minister?
That was my first bill I tried to introduce to the House of Keys. My very first one was getting the House of Keys elected, the Chief Minister elected by the House of Keys. That failed.
Legislative council reform again, another issue where you've tried unsuccessfully to bring change. Will we see change to any of these over the next 5 years?
I just wish my referendum had come through, because at least we could have had people power.
What's wrong with the upper house? I mean, it's been abused by some of your predecessors, really, for sticking people in there I mean, it was the home of the distinguished parliamentarian, the final few years of their political life, elder statesmen, women. Now, in some cases, members are to blame for the problems, aren't they? Because they sort of stick members up there who they don't want in keys.
All my life watching politics, it was known as the old boys' club. It was always jobs to the boys later on.
But it wasn't, though, was it? I mean, it was the respected upper house.
Believe me, James, it was definitely the jobs for the boys. It's changing slightly because there are now three members within there which are not from Keys. You've got Mr. Butt, Mr. Turner and Mr. Collister, who's never been sat in Keys. You're going to have an election for a new member straight after the general election. Now, can you see anybody of 24 who've just been out canvassing and getting a five-year term putting themselves forward for an 18-month term to fill in the position?
Of course not, but it doesn't make it right, does it?
No. So what you're going to end up then is four members who've never actually been to the public for a vote ever in their lives. Picking your chief minister for you.
What's the solution?
The solution is, A, either get the Legislative Council voted in by the public, and then, okay, we can change the way we pick the chief minister, either by democratically electing him, or I think Peter Caron tried to bring a bill through where you had to put your name forward prior to an election with a manifesto.
But don't we want people who have got the experience of Keys in Legislative Council?
Yes, they are a revising body. There's no doubt about it.
We don't want to pluck people in off the streets, whatever their experience, do we? They need an element of political experience.
They do need political experience, and it's a steep learning curve within Keys.
Those people you mentioned there, I think David Collister is probably the only one, without criticising the others, who's got what you'd call political experience, albeit in a different sphere.
Exactly, because of it. Yes,
because he was probably in this seat until not so long ago.
It's political past. The people want greater say at who's running their nation, and I think they should have it. And I think the only way to do that is let them elect Legislative Council. Either that, or turn it into what it is, a revising council.
Well, is there an acknowledgement then that some members have abused it, used it for the wrong reasons, and this is what's caused some of the problem now?
It's very possible. That's really not up for me to start speculating on, James.
I mean, busy 5 years. You mentioned national issues. I mean, obviously Farm Hill, not just Farm Hill, sorry, South Douglas, but Farm Hill Manor, speeding, youth and community centre. What are the main issues facing the constituency at the moment, do you believe?
They're always ongoing. I mean, I've been up today with regarding speeding issues and traffic issues. Unfortunately, there was a young child knocked over not so long ago in the area, and we're having to have that revisited at the moment, where we've got level crossing problems up by top of Stevens's Way. But there's other issues. I've got issues down in Upper Poor Road that the poor residents are having down there with the building work that's going on in the outer perimeter. They're really having to put up with an awful lot of inconvenience and noise. So there's always things to do within the constituency.
Will you get votes for constituency issues or national issues?
I hope I get votes for both, because I consider myself a national politician. I live in South Douglas. I work very hard for the people of South Douglas. I work very hard to protect the Douglas ratepayers, like issues like the bowl, where they wanted Douglas ratepayers to pay half of it out of the rates and the other half out of their taxes. So basically, they wanted Douglas ratepayers to pay twice. I fought very hard with my wife, Carol, who fought very hard within the council to stop that happening. And she actually brought the motion forward to council for the bowl to be given to the government for a pound, and then government to take it on. It's a national stadium. Douglas ratepayers are getting hammered for far too much.
Do you work well with David currently?
I work extremely well with David. In fact, I had a lap of the TT course on the back of a bike for charity not so long ago.
Subject close to your heart very quickly. We're coming towards the end of that programme. The bid to stop serious drug and alcohol problems, in particular young people. Is anyone getting on top of that?
I believe...
Or will we never get on top of it?
You will never, ever stop it, James. I'd be foolish to think I could. I think the approach we have is very good now. I think the communication we have between departments, the police and everything else, the hospital, is extremely good. We're starting to get information sharing. We're starting early intervention. We're putting a lot of effort into education. This is something you don't change overnight. You know, if you've got an addiction, you had an addiction, it's very hard to get rid of an addiction. What you've got to stop is our youth going down that road. We've put a lot of emphasis on that. We really have a good steering group now. A lot of communication. I believe for the future, we're going in the right direction.
So if re-elected, what are your priorities for the next 5 years?
Well, it will obviously depend upon what department, you know, you end up in. But, I mean,
The island.
The island itself, it's got to be more positive in its thinking. We've got to go out further afield. Forget Europe. I think Europe is collapsing. I think the Eurozone will be gone within the next year, certainly the way things are going. We have to look further afield. Think big, act big, and stop putting ourselves down. Let's play with the big boys. You know, we've still got a AAA rating, right? We are still on the OECD whitelist. These are all positive moves for the Isle of Man. We've got to go out there and grab what other countries are losing because their economies are falling apart. And I think we've got a great opportunity to do that. But we need the Department of Economic Development driving that forward. But we need the backing of local business. We have entrepreneurs on the Isle of Man, some retired, some active. Let's get them round the table. Let's see who their contacts are. Let's use them. Use what we have in the Isle of Man resources and go outside and drive. Stop sitting down and thinking, oh, it's going to be a bad 5 years. It's going to be a tough 5 years. We will get through it, but let's get through it positively.
Let's get through it together. The election's at 9 o'clock tonight. You're standing outside Douglas Old Friends, for example. Now you've got 30 seconds to put a plea to the people of South Douglas to vote for you. What do you say?
I say I've worked very hard for the people of South Douglas and the Isle of Man. I will continue to do so. I believe I've now completed my apprenticeship. It's payback time for me to give back to the Isle of Man everything I've learned over the last 5 years. Now we want experience, strong leadership, and we need to move forward together.
Bill Malarkey, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you, Jane.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.